I told you this week, because the way the Blazing 5 works, I get all the games to choose just 5 games. But when it comes to the playoffs, my slate is only 4 games, and there's only one that I would bet this week. RJ Bell, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. Of course, doing the radio show straight out of Vegas, Fox Sports Radio 6 to 7 Eastern. So, RJ, the game I like to bet would be Bills plus 3 at Texans. Why? Coaching edge, Bills. I think coaching matters more in the playoffs. Defensive edge, Bills. I think that matters more in the playoffs. And what the Texans do, the deep ball, the Bills defend well. So I like Buffalo straight out. Getting points, I think they upset the Texans in Houston. How do the wise guys see it?
This is the game I'm most conflicted on. So first off, let's acknowledge, if you get three, if you can, because there's 2.5s and there's 3s, I think your pick is much better. 3 is such a key number.
Yeah.
Now, that said, let me ask you a question, because I believe that maybe Bill O'Brien's getting a bum rap here. If I told you, and you know this, Houston has won their division 4 out of 5 years. How many teams do you think in the entire NFL have done that this century? Meaning at any point from 2000 on, they had a 5-year period that they won 4 out of 5 division titles or more, in theory. There's only been 9 of them. So 8 teams plus the Texans have done what the Texans have done the last 5 years. Like, why don't we give him credit? And it's not all Watson, because the first couple years of those 5 years, Houston had bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't think O'Brien's a bad quarterback. I think they don't have a general manager. I think they've made some disputable trades.
But you love that Tunzel trade.
Well, I do, but they made another trade beyond that, so they don't have a lot of top picks. I don't think they're a well-run organization. I think Deshaun's remarkable and Bill's smart. But I think they have struggled in big games and playoff games where I think coaching and details matter. I think they're low on details, high on talent. And I think those things have limitations and a ceiling in the postseason.
And I always find that interesting. When a team guts its way to get into the playoffs and then they get beat, there's two ways to look at it. One is, oh, when the big games happen, and I think that's a valid way sometimes. And other times it's like, wow, it's amazing they even got there. Now, you mentioned Watson. I think what is an under-considered factor in the playoffs is how running quarterbacks have even a bigger edge. So what was the big lament with Lamar this year? Oh, he's very effective, but can he maintain it? Can he keep doing it? Which means, effectively, can he avoid getting injured? Right. Well, in the playoff games, running quarterbacks typically are more willing to run.
Yes.
Because the leverage of the situation, meaning the stakes, are high enough, they are willing to take more of a risk. So think about it. Historically, Russell Wilson has done better in the playoffs. Even Aaron Rodgers, who in his younger days could run very effectively, did better in the playoffs oftentimes with that ability to run. I think that's another advantage for Houston. I just look at their stats and I think to myself, you know something? Maybe I got caught up in Watson and his flash, because really Houston, if you look at these stats, they are not that good. They've been, if you look at the point differential, you look at their yardage.
Yeah, I think Houston was outgained. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, like if you get outgained over the years, saying you're an average team at best.
Right.
So to me, let me say this, because once a year, it's worth doing this. At 3, I'm going to agree with you. At 2.5, I don't. So the listener should be shopping.
All right. So the next game that I think if I was going to bet it, again, if this was on the regular season slate, this number's not tasty enough because I think the Patriots win at home. But the Titans are leading the NFL in yards per play over the last 4 to 5 weeks. They're getting 5. I think they've got the quarterback that can move Tannehill and do pocket stuff. They have the receivers that can get cheap touchdowns over the top. And I think, frankly, New England has to play a certain way, get a block punt, trick play works. So I would take the points. Somebody told me years ago, instead, never try to take points, but take the other team. Like, you pick a team. And I don't know if that's right or not, but this is the rare, I'm going to take the Titans plus 5, but I do think New England wins. What side are the sharps on?
I disagree there. Sharp side to me, and again, there's not always a clear sharp side, right? Everyone thinks about, imagine there's all the wise guys. you know, and they pull up in this secret place in the basement meeting somewhere down on Fremont Street. They're smoking cigars and they're deciding the sharps. Nah, sometimes they disagree. And to me here, I think you're going to get some sharps that like Tennessee. And their thinking is going to be, yeah, the season long, New England's better. But if you look at since Tannehill came on, and it is amazing the contrast, Tennessee scoring about 14 points more per game.
Yeah, I mean, Mariota was a nonverbal kid at a verbal position, got hurt a lot, and frankly, he may have never been better than the middle of year two. And Tannehill's got, you know, here's the other thing. Tannehill's got a lot of starts, RJ. He's been in this league a long time, and he's faced the Patriots a lot.
Though I'll tell you, well, he hasn't done so well against the Pats, though the Dolphins have in general back then. By the way, Tannehill's performance seems to not shine too nicely for Adam Gase, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I don't know if you're expunging the archives yet of all those Adam Gase takes, but let's just say that Tannehill is looking mighty good. That said, Belichick being familiar with him is not a good thing necessarily. But what do the Pats struggle with? Usually teams that can run and pass.
And they can do both.
Yeah, that's Derrick Henry. So let's agree to this. If Tannehill is a 70th percentile quarterback, you know, better than two-thirds of the league, they probably win this game. But here's what I know. The Pats, last 22 games at home, they've lost two. Now, so if what you're predicting is that, you know, the Pats are going to win by one, two, three, or four, it's very possible. Not a great prediction. Now, someone might be screaming at their radio, screaming at their podcast player, but RJ, they've lost two of the Pats of three at home. Yeah, and they've lost two of 22. So the question is the truth two of the last three, or is the truth for the Patriots two of the last 22? I'm always tiebreaker going with Belichick, so I'm going to disagree with you.
I would probably go Saints minus 7.5, although I think the number is right. I think the Vikings defense is excellent. I think this game will be lower scoring than people think because I think both defenses are excellent. I think Dalvin Cook plays. They could take the ball for periods of time away from Drew Brees. So I like New Orleans at home, but I think it's a fairly low, you know, 28-20 is how I see it. So I think the number's correct, but what would the wise guys say?
This would be, in my opinion, the strongest play of the week on Minnesota here. I just believe that perception has drifted this game into a place that's unreasonable. I mean, how often are teams favored by over a touchdown in the playoffs?
Not much.
And my question is this. In the first round, or let's say even the first two rounds, because sometimes you'll get a team that's a real powerhouse, and they will be favored by eight over a really good team. So maybe the way to think about it is unless the team they're playing is the best team in the NFL, and obviously the Saints aren't, they're not even a bye team, when are they favored by this many against a Minnesota team that quite frankly at different points during this season, some very sharp guys I know thought Minnesota might have been the third best team in the NFL. Yeah, so maybe they're not, but they're not that much worse than we thought. So I guess what I'm saying is what justifies this line in your mind? Because you're saying you think the line is about
well,
right.
Well, I think it's about Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. That's what the line is. Saints defense is better than advertised. They've got quite a pass rush. We don't trust Kirk in big spots. The line is a Cousins line because it feels like a four-point spread. Cousins makes it 7.5.
Now, that is fascinating because I think you're right that if this were a blind resume and all we saw was the stats, because remember, Cousins is the one who got him the stats. It's the same thing about Jason Garrett. Oh, the Cowboys would only be so much better without Jason Garrett. Well, we'll see. But if you look at their stats, you'd say, well, aren't those the stats Jason Garrett got you? And oh, by the way, those are the stats you're saying proves Dallas is a good team. Well, isn't that the same thing with Minnesota? If you look at the stats, Kirk Cousins gave that or helped them get those stats, right? So I think the question is this. If you believe Cousins is as bad as the Monday Night Football stats, as bad as he seems to be in the big games, you can't bet Minnesota. What I believe, and what we innovated, really, first to say it on Straight Out of Vegas, was that this is more about start times for him. When he starts at 1 o'clock, there's something about his routine where he's comfortable with it. And when he starts otherwise, he's not. At 1 o'clock Eastern, in his career, Cousins covers 67% of his games, 2 out of 3. That's amazing. At other times, any other time but 1 o'clock, Cousins covers a third, 33% of his games. Now, you can say the big games are often other times. Yeah, but there's a lot of other games that aren't so big those other times, and he struggles also. So I don't know if this, though, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, whereas he keeps hearing about how bad he is in these big games, and he starts to doubt himself. But all that said, I think that with that start time where it is, Cousins, if he gets off a little hot, who knows? I actually like Minnesota on the money line here a little bit too. And for lastly, for those in-game bettors, and a lot of people bet in-game now, I think that don't expect Minnesota to necessarily come back if they're down big. So maybe watch for a while. And if Minnesota keeps it tight, I think it gives Cousins some confidence. But if Saints get up 14-0, oftentimes you might think, oh, Minnesota will come back. I'm not sure if Cousins has that ability.
Finally, Seahawks-Eagles is a really two banged-up teams, very limited, over the top. I love both quarterbacks and coaches. I've gone back and forth. I've come to the conclusion for the seventh time in the last 2 days, I'm going to take Philadelphia here. I think their defensive line shuts down the Seattle running game. There is something about momentum and belief and playing at home and resilience. Seattle's coming off a brutally tough game. I think Philly's getting a little healthier. I would probably go anybody that got points in this game, I'll take them. Philadelphia +2 feels like the right side. What would the wise guy say?
Agreement here for sure. Seattle's the team that's been the poster child of overrated for us this year. We took a lot of heat. I mean, even when they were the number one seed. And, you know, let's be candid, is Seattle's banged up. So it's not like this version of the team is as good as they ever were. In fact, there was a couple weeks in the mid-late part of the season that maybe I was thinking I was wrong about Seattle, that they were better. Because when Clowney came over, the D started playing better with him. They got the safety from from Detroit. And then there was a sense of that this team had an identity, as you like to say. But boy, the running backs banged up, other people banged up. But you know something about Philadelphia? As much heat as they've taken, they've outscored their opponents this year by 31 points, which is better than Seattle. Seattle's actually less than that. And then if you look at their yardage per game, Philadelphia's outgaining their opponents by almost 30 yards per game. So for all the sense that, oh, that NFC East team was going to be so bad, the Eagles aren't that bad. How many teams that bad go into Buffalo and do what they did? Remember that game?
And Green Bay.
Those are two of the better road wins of the year that any one team has. The only downside, as banged up as Philly's been, they're probably more banged up now than they've been throughout the year. So to me, this is an injury game, and both sides are banged up. Also, though, lastly, and let me ask you, last question for me, Colin, is what do you think of Wentz in this spot? Because it's easy to say the Eagles are about as clutch as any team has been.
I'm a big Wentz fan. So
first playoff start.
I know, but I felt the last 2 weeks were playoff games. I really felt the Dallas game felt like a playoff game. The last week felt like a playoff game. So I thought San Francisco Baltimore this year felt like a playoff game. Kansas City at New England this year, I thought it felt like a playoff game. You'll see that occasionally in the NBA where, you know, Clippers, Lakers, you're like, this has a psychological meaning beyond your average regular season game. So I think Wentz played in 2 playoff games, that kind of intensity, do or die, sudden death, and I don't think he'll be fazed.
Yeah, and all, I think that's a valid point. And also his teammates have done it so well, there's a sense of, come on, buddy, here we go. Whereas if it's your first start and your teammates inexperienced too, it's much more difficult. If you believe in Wentz, you've got to love the Eagles here.
RJ Bell, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas, straight out of Vegas on Fox Sports Radio 6-7. I am told, should I give a little hint on a app for pregame.com?
You know something? Let's just say this is as a guy who, in my opinion, your combination of understanding Vegas, and people always say, you know, these days, Colin, I think you know, a lot of Vegas experts are popping up. I don't know where they were before, but now they're experts. And you're a guy that doesn't claim to be an expert.
No.
But you were in Vegas for how long working?
7 years, yes.
And you talked to a lot of sharp guys,
yes.
I recall.
Yes,
I wasn't even around. You know, yeah. I wasn't even around. So to me, you know, I've been here 22 years, so to me, your insight is always valuable, and you've been so kind to take a look at some of the stuff we've done. Let's just say this. Within a couple months, we got a big surprise out there.
There we go. I like mystery. I like it. So congrats on your business. We'll talk again next week because I want to really break down the playoffs and the national championship game next week. So we will have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
Thank you.